Good afternoon, brethren. I hope everyone had a joyous and happy week this past week. Will you come with me, please, to the book of Hebrews? Chapter 8. We're going to check in at verses 7 and 8. Verse 7, chapter 8 of the book of Hebrews. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. The title of my spit sermon today is The Two Covenants. And the people, how this two covenant affect people, one in one group and one in the other group. The one we refer to as the old covenant was initiated at Mount Sinai by the Creator God, and the new covenant was initiated during Christ's ministry. The people under the old covenant were the house of Israel. All 12 tribes of the house of Israel was part of the old covenant. The people under the new covenant are the Christians. As the people under the old covenant stated that at Mount Sinai, all that God said, we will do. We will obey him. And the people under the new covenant, the Christians who follow Christ wherever he goes, his teaching and his ways, voice the same opinion. All that Christ said and do, the example he has set, we will follow. Under the old covenant, the first covenant, there was a natural promise of natural blessing. When you get in the land that I'm giving you, and you begin to work the land, I will bless your crops, I will bless your homes, I will bless your cities. Under the new covenant, the promise is eternal life. Nowhere in the old covenant do we see the Creator promising eternal life to those participating in that. Come with me, please, to Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Verse 23, it says, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the promise to those who follow Christ in the new covenant. Also, there are laws that apply in each of the covenant. The people in the Old Testament live by the letter of the law. When there were infractions on the law, in cases where it was required, there was the death penalty administered when they lived by the letter of the law. In the New Testament, under the New Covenant, Christ added the spiritual dimension to the law. Not just the letter of the law, but the spirit intent of the law. Come with me, please, to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 27 and 28. Matthew 5, 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Here in the New Covenant, not only is the physical aspects of the law are highlighted, but the spiritual aspect of it, the intent of the law is highlighted. And then there is the question of where. In the Old Covenant, the laws was written on tables of stone, like the stone that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai after God had given them to him, or they were written in books. Will you come with me, please, to Exodus, the 31st chapter? Exodus 31 and verse 18. Exodus 31. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. This is where the law was written in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant. In the New Covenant that God is making with his people, the law is written in our hearts. The law of God becomes second nature to us. This is something when we learn God's law, learn God's way, this is something that we do automatically. Will you come with me, please, to Jeremiah, the 31st chapter? Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. And we're going to look in verse 31 to verse 33. Jeremiah 31st chapter. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, said the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. According to the old covenant, the covenant that governed most of the Old Testament, the people obeyed the laws of God simply by human strength. There were occasions, we do understand, that some of the people did have the Spirit of God and had that help in obeying God's law. Outstanding people like Moses and Abraham, these people did have God's Spirit, but most of the Israelites of the 12 tribes simply obeyed the law through human strength. And at the new covenant that God gives unto his people, it is through God's Spirit that enable us, enable those who follow Christ to obey. Will you come with me, please, to John, the 14th chapter, the book of John, the 14th chapter. Let's look at verse 15 and verse 16. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. In the old covenant that was given to the house of Israel, there was a priesthood, the Leviticus priesthood. They maintained the tabernacle and the temple in the Old Testament. They conducted the sacrificial service and the laws that govern the priesthood. Under the new covenant, we have the Melchizedek priesthood. Melchizedek priesthood will be extended even into the kingdom of God. Come with me, please, to Hebrews the seventh chapter. We're going to look at verse 1 to 3. The book of Hebrews, the seventh chapter. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. In the old covenant that was given at Mount Sinai, how was the covenant ratified? How was it put into force? The covenant that was given at Mount Sinai was put in effect by the blood of animals, oxen, cattle that was sacrificed, and about the blood of animals that this covenant was put into effect. In the new covenant, the covenant is put into effect by the blood of Christ. It is through the blood of Christ that we rely on to forgive us of our sins. In the old covenant, the priests that maintained the tabernacle and the temple once a year on the Day of Atonement went in the holies of holies with the blood of animals to cover the sins of Israel. Now this blood of animals that the high priest took into the holies of holies did not forgive the people for their sin. It simply covered their sins until the next year. And the next year he had to repeat the same procedure to go into the holies of holies. This was the only time that the high priest or anyone was able to go into the holies of holies with the blood of animals to cover the sins of the people. But in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, our sins are covered by Christ. Not only are our sins covered, but our sins are forgiven. In the Old Covenant, their sin wasn't forgiven. It was covered. In the New Covenant, our sins are forgiven. When we come before Christ, when we admit our sin, confess our sins, and ask for forgiveness, Christ's blood is applied to our transgression. And we are forgiven for our sins. It doesn't have to be on a special Day of Atonement or any other special day. Any day that we come before Christ and confess our sin, he will apply his blood, which is infinitely more valuable than the blood of animal. How do you enter the covenant? In the old covenant, you enter the covenant by sacrifice, by circumcision. All of the males in Israel were supposed to be circumcised on the eighth day. In the new covenant, we entered it in by spiritual circumcision. Spiritual circumcision is repentance, mercy, and forgiveness. Come with me, please, to Philippians. Philippians, the third chapter, and verse 3. Philippians 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. In the old covenant that was given at Mount Sinai, how was the covenant administered? How did they go about taking care of that? The old covenant was an administration of death. People who transgressed the covenant when the law required was put to death. They were stoned to death, or however the practice was at the time. But when they transgressed that law, they were put to death. Come with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 5 to 8. Verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who has also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of the death written and engraven on stone was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. This was the administration of the old covenant. It was an administration of death. In the new covenant, it is administration. The covenant is administered by mercy and forgiveness. Nowhere do we find in the New Testament part of the Bible or under the New Covenant where the church, where we find someone who has transgressed the law and the church has gotten together and stoned that person to death or killed that person because he broke the law. The administration in the New Covenant was an administration of mercy and forgiveness. And then we look at the status. Under the law of Moses, as they called it, under the old covenant, we have the same scripture that applies. 2 Corinthians 3:5-8. We're going to look at verse 7 in particular here. But if the administration of death written and engraven in stone was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the administration of the Spirit, verse 8, be great and glorious? Again, under the new covenant, the status wasn't the administration of the law by the death penalty. We are under grace and mercy. God, upon our confession before him, grant us grace and mercy. Come with me, please, to Romans, the 6th chapter. Verse 14. Romans 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace in the new covenant. Under the old covenant, we had a messenger. This messenger under the old covenant was Moses. Come with me, please, to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. Verses 1 through 8. Exodus 24, 1 through 8. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, you and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offering and sacrificed peace offering of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basin, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said will we do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord had made with you concerning all these words. And the status of the people under the new covenant is we are under grace. We are, God have mercy on us when we sin. Again, as we confess our sin before God, he is eager and willing to forgive us of our sin. If you come with me, please, to Romans, the 6th chapter. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. In the old covenant that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai, there were sacrifices. There were animal sacrifices. Each day of the week, there was sacrifice, morning and noon sacrifice. Even on the Sabbath day, there was sacrifice. On the high holy days, these sacrifices increased. Certain number of sacrifices increased to one day, and certain number of sacrifices was increased the second day. Under the new covenant, under Jesus Christ, our sacrifice is spiritual. We don't kill any animals. Our sacrifice is spiritual. Our sacrifice is a change of heart. When we confess our sin, when we recognize that we have sinned and confess our sin before Christ and our Father, Christ's blood will forgive us of our sin. Not just cover our sin, but will forgive us for our sins. Come with me, please, to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Hebrews, the 9th chapter. We're going to check in at verse 14. Hebrews 9, verse 14. Verse 14 to verse 28. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressor, they were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal life. For where a testament is, there must also necessarily be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is no strength at all while the testator lives. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the books and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you. Moreover, He sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And also all things are by law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So sacrifice in the old covenant was of animal sacrifice. And as I mentioned before, the animal sacrifice did not forgive men of their sin. The animal sacrifice just covered their sin until the next day of atonement, when the high priest went into the holies of holies, again offering animal blood for the covering of the sins of the people. But Christ, when he offered himself, when he offered his blood for the sins of those in the new covenant, Christ's blood was for the forgiveness of sin, not the covering of sin, but for the forgiveness of sin. These are some of the highlights of the Old and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant was administered by Moses to the children of Israel, and the New Covenant is administered to the Christians, the followers of Christ, under the New Covenant that Christ ordained with his blood. And as with the Old Covenant, the people who read the words that Moses written in the book, all the words they said that was written in that book, we'll do. We will obey God. We will be his people. But as said in Hebrew, that there was a fault found with the people, not with God's way, not with his law, but with the people. And therefore, that there was a necessary for a new covenant. And this new covenant is the covenant that we live under today as Christians. We don't carry out the laws in administering the new covenant under Jesus Christ. We don't carry out the laws that punish people when they sin. As you or myself have known in past how we have erred in following God and doing his will in our life, and yet we are not brought before a tribunal and stoned to death because of what we have done. But because of the blood of Christ, we are extended mercy upon our repentance, realizing that we have erred from God and from his ways. And the blood of Christ does forgive us of our sins. As we have seen in many cases, when Christ was teaching on the earth, there was not one individual stoned to death because they had broken one of God's law. In all of the cases that we can read of in the New Testament, when someone has erred under the new covenant, there was extended mercy and grace, and God forgave them. Not only that, but we, under the new covenant that Christ has initiated, has been given a helper. Every one of us who have come before Christ and confessed our sins before Christ and have made an attempt or made to change our ways, when we see that we have erred, God will extend mercy to us. God will extend grace to us. He doesn't come call out a mob and say, let's stone him to death because he has broken my law. But Christ's administration of this new covenant is an administration of mercy and grace. And I ask the congregation to think on these words as we approach these fall holy days of the mercy that Christ has extended to each and all of us.